And Melissa, welcome to the studio.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Ginger.
I'm so glad you're here. And I am going to just let you know that we probably had the biggest outpouring of emails for you coming on the show as we've had this year.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Everybody's very excited. I'll get to their questions in a little while. And the name of your book is The Way I See It, A Look Back at My Life on Little House. And, of course, we know there's some behind the scenes and some wonderful dishy stories that you tell us. But tell us a little bit about what prompted you to write the book at this time.
Well, really, I had never, ever thought about it.
Really?
No. But I was approached asked if I would be interested. And I really thought that they've made a mistake because my husband is the writer of the family.
Right, right.
No, they're just confused somehow. And they were talking about me. And I thought, well, again, what an interesting idea. I wonder why no one's ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next conversation was, well, Melissa Gilbert is coming out with a book. And I said, well, there you go.
Ah.
So I, by that time, had kind of been talked into it because I thought, well, if I could, I kind of organized it in my head. And I thought if I can tell it the way it really was, because I don't think people really know how hard it is to be a child actor.
Yes, exactly.
And how serious I was about it. I didn't play around, and
right.
It was going to be my career. I was thrilled to be there, and I used every opportunity to learn. So I thought, I don't think people really know that side of it. I don't know that they know anything but money and drugs and
right. And what ends up with child actors sometimes, right?
Exactly, and. First of all, there wasn't much money when I was doing it.
Uh-oh.
But never mind. I didn't. I used to say, they don't have to pay me for this. I love,
aww.
I always said that. So, but I think that I kind of use a device of screenplay pages in my book.
Yep.
Kind of putting the reader into the story where they can read parts of it in lighter moments, especially in scenes. And I realized why I did it. I hadn't actually analyzed that before, but I think why I did it was to be able to get myself back in that 11-year-old head. And by writing it that way, I could.
Well, I have to tell you, that's interesting that you say that. I wondered, and maybe this is accurate, I wondered if you consulted some journals or something that you had kept as a young girl, because as I was reading it, I thought, wow, her voice almost sounds like she's taking us from 10, 11, 12, all the way through 14, 15, 16.
Right, right. No, I didn't. I never kept.
Wow.
I never kept any, but I remembered it well enough. And I think that device actually really helped me. It, being an actress, and a bit, I'm not a writer, well, until this, but a screenwriter especially, but I with my husband, I'm an ideas person,
Right.
I come up with some good ideas. So my husband and I kind of work together a little bit. So I think that, obviously, I think that way. And when I think of, dialogue and descriptions and things that way, I really see a better picture. So for me, that was a truer way to do it. And I think I notice it when I read the book. When I read the first, first, second, third, fourth, even if at least first, second, third, fourth chapter, it does sound like a young person.
It does, yeah.
And then I do, thankfully, grow up.
Absolutely,
it.
And that's the way your audience knows you.
Right.
So we saw you grow up on Little House on the Prairie. I think we're fairly contemporaries, if I can kind of surmise from how old you are. From
right,
the
right, right, yeah.
And I was thinking, what was it like to grow up in front of national audiences?
Well, I, am actually quite shy. I try to talk a lot and overcome it. But
I've
always
good job.
Thank you. I know that my life will be a lot more enjoyable if I can do that. But as a kid, I didn't really have that skill, so I was kind of reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fun, and I had a funny sense of humor. Once you got to know me,
mm-hmm.
But I was uncomfortable with the public aspect of it. Obviously, being shy, and
like interviewing or going on—did they have red carpet nights and all that?
That kind of thing, and also just going out. Once we were a hit, you know, going out, going shopping with my friends, or you know, getting all that attention was difficult for a shy person. And I also knew better that, you know, these were my fans. I mean, I of course was going to be nice. It wasn't that. It was just uncomfortable when you're not used to that kind of thing.
Right, being approached and have to talk on the spur of the moment,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right,
oh,
right.
I see.
And also, like, if I was with my friends, I didn't want them to feel weird. And then I found out later that they thought it was cool.
Oh,
so
all right,
I needn't
good.
Have worried about that. but you know, I got better at it. I got better at publicity. I knew how to answer questions better, and it got easier. It's certainly my niche has always been the work, and you know, being on sets and acting and that's where I'm at my, you know, I'm in my element.
You're most comfortable. Now, how old were you when you auditioned for Little House on the Prairie?
I was 11.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And was it tell us a little bit about that audition. I mean, being 11, being shy, had you already been in some TVs or commercials or TV shows?
I started working when I was 9, which
I
is actually
so. Okay.
It's actually a veteran for kids, you know. Most kids start when they're in diapers or they're
three.
Or, you know, a lot of them. I think Brooke Shields was in diapers.
Wow.
I don't know. A lot of kids. Jodie Foster was very young with the Copper Tone ad. You know, and so I was considered kind of old. But
that's
I had done commercials, and I had done two parts. I did an episode of The Brady Bunch, which became kind of famous because, well, a lot of their shows did.
Yes.
But this one kind of did because I was Bobby's first girlfriend, and we kiss, and he sees skyrockets.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a big thing, and a lot of people remember that one.
I was a religious Brady Bunch watcher. I do remember, but I didn't know it was you, although
yeah,
I read your book
yeah,
that
yeah.
you were the first kiss. Was that your first kiss?
Yes.
So you had your first kiss on television.
Right, right.
Wow. Bobby's right. too, probably.
Right. It might have been him. You know, I was a little disappointed to know when I, because I was so excited. I was such a fan of the Brady
uh-huh,
Bunch.
Uh-huh.
So get a job on the Brady Bunch, I was just beside myself. But when I walked on the set and started seeing them, they were older than I was. How could that be? I was like, no, they're supposed to be, you know, but these, they were older than I was.
And they were playing younger ages.
They were playing younger, and some of them, yes, exactly, yeah, they were playing younger, and then, but still, some of them were older, and I was just so young that I didn't realize that
yeah,
they were, you know, that
yeah.
of course they were in high school, and
oh, I
but,
see, yeah,
you know, I didn't, but also, I mean, Mike Lucanland and Susan Olsen, who played the youngest ones, even they were, oh gosh, I think they were like 3 years, 3 or 4 years older than I was. And I had no idea, you
That's
know.
Funny.
So I may not have been his first kiss.
Okay, all right. We'll let that one fly. So you started off by having some other episode parts, and then you tried out for, or auditioned, I guess, for Little House on the Prairie. What was that like?
Well, it was very exciting because I had never been up for a series, a potential series mm-hmm. before. So this was a 2-hour movie of the week / pilot. And so that was a big deal. And the first interview was at NBC with the NBC brass, just sitting in this like big conference room, you know, and they were very nice.
And you're 11 years old.
And I was 11.
Very poised from what I read in the book. You seem very together.
I was. I mean, I'm kind of that, I was brought up that way, you know, I'm kind of that kind of a person, but, and that's good and bad, you know, I think. I almost didn't get an agent because I was so, you know, well, nice to meet you and thank you. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of other things to say or, you know, I did all the right things. But, you know, it wasn't until I popped my little retainer out of my mouth when she said, does that come out? And I said, oh, yeah, here it is. See?
Oh, that's cute.
And then she thought, well, okay, she's all right. She's got some spunk in there somewhere.
Right,
you
right.
just have to find it. So I you know, I went in for this interview, and my agent had explained that she thought it was for a Western. So I went in, and we were talking, and this nice white-haired man with very blue eyes, who I later came to know his family very well, Al Trisconi, he was the vice president of talent, and he explained to me that, first he said, have you read the book's Little House on the Prairie? And I said, oh, well, of course, you know, twice at least. And he said, well, that's what this movie is. And I was like, I was so excited. I jumped up and down. And he said, so do you have an idea who you might be playing? And I said, well, I would think it would be Mary.
Oh.
And, you know, and he said, you're right. It, you know, so that meeting went really well. He said, would you like to come back and read if we need you to? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to. So I went running out of the office and said, Mom, it's Little House on the Prairie. That's the Western. That's what it was.
Oh, my gosh. So, how exciting.
It was exciting. It was very exciting.
And, of course, we all know who are fans of the show that the rest is sort of history. They called you back, mm-hmm. and they asked you to be Mary. Mm-hmm. And that was, what year was that, 74.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next decade almost, you played Mary.
I was 7 years and 2 shows the 8th season I did. Yes.
Oh my gosh. And so you, in the book, you say sometimes that you're actually, it sounded like you were rewatching some of the episodes in mm-hmm. order to write the book. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what was that like, watching yourself 20 years later? Or was it 20 years? It's more than that.
More than that. It's more than that.
I think 20-something years later.
Well, Matt Lauer said it the other day, and I was horrified. I can't even...
What did he say?
I don't know. I think it's... What could it have been 27 or 29 years or something?
I guess, because it's 2010.
Yeah.
How dare Matt bring that up?
But he did such a nice... I mean, really, I had the nicest introduction I've ever had in my life.
Yes?
So, honestly, it was so nice.
Because he... Was he a fan? Had he watched it?
Yeah, I guess. And also, they just... You know, because it was an NBC show...
Yeah, they were sweet.
...as well, and I had done the Today Show, you know, many years before.
Right.
And it was just so nice. I mean, he mentioned he you know... My friend kept telling me, you have got to say, and I said, I can't say that, you know, that I was the only actress on the show to be nominated ever for
that's
an
right.
Emmy.
That's right.
You know,
that's in the
That's not
press.
Something that you say, you know, normally.
Sounds bragging.
But that's
right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but he that came out in the introduction. I mean, it was so nice.
I think it's wonderful. And that is true, and we're going to say it here, too. So of all the fabulous actors on the show, and they were, you were the only actor of the show to be nominated for an Emmy.
Right.
You were excited to go to the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we are going to take a short break here with my guest, Melissa Anderson. We will be back in just a moment. We are talking about her new book, The Way I See It, A Look Back at My Life on Little House. We'll be back in a moment.
A busy dog is a happy dog, and we love happy dogs at Bow Wow Bungalow. Drop your best pal off to play with his doggy friends while you're at work or running errands. You won't feel guilty about leaving him behind, and he won't eat your sofa out of loneliness and frustration. At Bow Wow Bungalow, we provide your dog with companionship, fun, and full-time monitoring in our gorgeous fenced location full of toys. Bow Wow Bungalow is open in Crabapple Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 7. Visit our website at AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
Are you into classic cars? Do you own a classic car? If so, you need to know J.C. Taylor Insurance, the absolute best place in the country for classic car insurance. They own classic cars, they support the industry, and have the best prices bar none. Go to jctaylor.com, get a quote, and tell them you heard about them on Radio Sandy Springs.
Next time you are in need of a floral arrangement, consider your old neighbor, Flowers of Sandy Springs. Conveniently located at Roswell Road in Abernathy in the Public Shopping Center, Flowers of Sandy Springs can handle all your floral needs, from table arrangements to gift baskets, hospital and funeral arrangements, and of course, all your out-of-town needs. Flowers of Sandy Springs has been beautifying the lives of your neighbors for years. Call Charlie at Flowers of Sandy Springs today, 404-250-0957. Flowers of Sandy Springs.
So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas. Atlanta Dog Trainer services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
Seyfarth Shaw LLP is a full-service law firm serving clients around the globe. Whether you're a startup technology firm or an established entrepreneurial company, Seyfarth Shaw strategy to provide coordinated, high-quality legal representation will help you and your business succeed. Their practice offerings, capabilities, and geographic locations allow them to respond quickly and effectively to the critical legal and business issues you as an entrepreneur face each day. Seyfarth Shaw is pleased to offer its clients leading practices in intellectual property and technology business matters. For more information about Seyfarth Shaw, please visit their website at www.seyfarthshaw.com or contact Jay Myers at 404-885-6743.
Welcome back to Book Talk with Ginger, where my guest today is Melissa Anderson, who played Mary on Little House on the Prairie. Her new book is out, and it's called The Way I See It, a look back at my life on Little House. I always get my prepositions mixed up. And it's interesting, the title, The Way I See It, I'm guessing, is a play on words a little bit, because after you were on the show for four seasons, or is it longer than that?
We were at the end of the fourth season is when I...
So Michael Landon came up to you, and you knew he had some news for you, and you were very nervous. Tell our listeners about that.
That actually happened at the end of the third season. That was me going up to... Now I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Sorry. I had heard rumblings, you know, going around that my character was going to go blind, which I knew had happened in the books.
Right, that's right.
But we weren't following the books that closely, but I didn't think I was going to escape this.
Oh, you didn't?
But no, but I was terrified because I thought I was just going to be written out.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up the courage at our wrap party of the third season to go up and ask him, and I could barely get the words out. I mean, I just...
You were how old at this point? You were 16, maybe?
Oh, no, no, no. I was like 13.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Third season.
I think so, yeah. And so he said, it's going to be great, really. It's going to be great. You'll be happy. So, and he said, trust me. So it really was. I mean, it was. When I read Now We Go Back to Work, the fourth season, and towards, I don't know, the middle of the fourth season, I get the two scripts. It was a two-part episode, I'll Be Waving As You Drive Away. Mm-hmm. And I read them, and I was overwhelmed. I thought, oh, these are really going to be great. But I had my work cut out for me.
Yeah. So you had to learn how to look blind and walk mm-hmm. blind and eat blind, all of that. Mm-hmm. How did you get that kind of coaching?
I went to the Foundation for the Junior Blind in Los Angeles and got a lot of tutoring there.
Wow.
And then we also had a technical a teacher, I believe, from there come on the set during those episodes in case questions came up, or to make sure that everything looked right with the blind school kids, that everything would look right with them and me, of course.
Right.
But all kinds of things to learn.
What was the most challenging in playing a blind actress, as you say, a blind pioneer? Your chapter's called what?
I was a blind pioneer, and you thought you had problems.
Yeah, exactly.
That was when a guy was starting to get old.
Yeah.
Well, the most challenging thing, even in the beginning, was, and always was, when, let's say there's a big crash to the right of you,
mm-hmm.
and if you were a sighted person, you're... eyes would snap there before your head even arrived, actually. But if you're a non-sighted person, you would hear that noise and your head would travel first and your eyes would trail behind.
Wow.
And at times, it actually did show. It didn't have to be, because most times it wasn't that quick. It wasn't that big of a noise, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that quick of a movement. And you could see that. And that's one thing that's so unnatural, to try to move your head and leave your eyes behind.
Right.
Going
almost
and
like you're moving with your ear.
Exactly. Wow. And a lot of things are that, you know, that way there's a tilt of because you're using your ear more. So that always was difficult. I always had to concentrate on that.
Well, we have some emails from our listeners, and one of them actually talks about when you were working with Linwood Boomer, who played your husband Adam, who is also blind. So this is from Tammy, and she writes, "Thanks for the opportunity to send questions in for Melissa Anderson, and thanks for having her on the show. First, I'd like to say to Melissa, I really admire you, and I so admire that you told your story without any negativity toward anyone throughout the book."
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
She appreciates that. And now for my question. What was your working relationship like with Linwood Boomer, who played your husband, Adam Kendall, and do you stay in contact with each other? And that's from Tammy.
Oh, well, that's a very good question and a very nice email. Linwood Boomer was a terrific addition, I thought, to our show, because he was unconventionally handsome.
Yeah.
He was, I, you know, he told me later he was nervous. And I don't blame him coming into a, you know, an established show and also playing this blind guy. I mean, it couldn't have been any more difficult.
Right.
But he had the greatest, zaniest sense of humor. I mean, like, we all know, I think everybody's heard stories about Michael Landon's sense of humor. Hmm. But Linwood's was different. It was...
more witty, maybe, a lot?
Yeah, and more... cerebral, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Just funny, off the wall stuff, and he was terrific. We always had a good time. He used to look at me and say, "We'd be standing close together, ready to do some very dramatic scene or something," and he would say, "Your eyes are like two limpid pools shining in the moonlight."
You know? He has to keep a straight
face.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just a silly guy, and but he, you know, always terrific, and then. I felt bad when my 7-year contract was up. I contracted to do 2 more episodes in the 8th season because there was not one more tragedy I could possibly have.
Yeah, and there was a fire. Yeah,
all kinds of things,
right.
or the opposite, being just being put in a scene with no dialogue at all, and maybe sitting in a circus where, you know, we had nothing to do. And just for audience recognition that Mary is still alive. So it was just not, it was a no-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that by that time, he had regained his sight in our show. So I thought they could use him. You know, they were trying to revamp the show anyway. They were desperately trying to, you know, invent a new Laura and a new Nelly and, you know, bring it back to, you know, redo old storylines and stuff. And I thought, why not use Linwood? But they didn't, and that made me feel bad because I thought I'm affecting him. But, you know, I shouldn't have worried, because the next thing I knew, I'm watching Third Rock from, I'm watching Night Court, and there is his name as executive producer.
Oh, my goodness.
And I went, yes, yes. There's that sense of humor. See, that's what I mean.
It's kind of a quirky sense
of humor that's
different,
you know, sense of humor from Mike Landon's sense of humor.
Like Third Rock. I mean, like it's from another planet,
exactly.
Kind of humor. You're right. That was a great show.
And then he did Third Rock.
Okay.
Then he created Malcolm in the Middle.
Which is one of our family's favorite shows.
Yeah,
and
probably the best thing I ever could have done was say...
leave the show.
Yeah, because...
Has he written you a thank you letter? Hello.
He was able to just move right into his other career.
That's so nice. Do you still stay in touch with any of the folks from the house?
Well, you know, Mike and I were the closest because we both lived in Malibu. I brought him a TV movie that he produced.
Oh.
I brought him a book, actually, written by a friend of my husband's and mine, and that he produced. And so we stayed in touch, and we went to some charity things together and things like that. But not so much with the other, because we were kind of all spread out, and I was working all the time in those days.
Yeah.
But Linwood, I remember the last time I really heard about him was through an interview, I think, that I had done in People magazine, and he made some very nice comments, and so we were talking kind of back and forth.
Oh, that's nice.
Through People.
Through People magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think a lot of people may not know this. You were in so many shows while you were off, what is it called, hiatus?
Hiatus, yes, our time off in between seasons.
And then after tell us a little bit about some of the other feature films you did or TV shows that you did post Little House.
Well, you know, all the way through, I did Love Boats, and mm-hmm. I did Fantasy
Islands.
I remember
you on Love Boat. Yeah.
I did like 4 of them,
uh-huh.
so yeah.
Yeah.
I did Movies of the Week. I did this, you know, The Survival of Dana with Bobby Carradine, and I did Midnight Offerings that was Steve Cannell really scary witch one, written by Steve Cannell, who did Rockford Files, and it's the same. It's Juanita Bartlett. She wrote it, and it was fantastic. It was scary, fantastic.
Right.
But I love those. You know, and Steve Cannell is just terrific guy. So and I did An Innocent Love with Doug McKeon, and I did and lots of other things even while we were still working.
So you could do any show you wanted. You didn't really have a limit.
As long as the timing worked out.
Right, I remember that.
I could. James at 15 was another one I did. They were doing a pilot, but it wasn't for me. I couldn't do the pilot because I already had a series, but I was in the pilot as Lance Kerwin's girlfriend. We were always paired up as boyfriend and girlfriend since The Loneliest Runner, where I played Mike Landon's first girlfriend, and Lance Kerwin played Mike Landon as a boy.
So that's interesting.
We went from there to James at 15 and on after that.
Well, I remember reading this because it seemed like the same child actors and actresses seemed to play a lot of the roles back then. Mm-hmm. And you were like, who was it, Katharine Hepburn and whoever she was
with. Oh, and Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy, you know, reminded me, or Mickey Rooney and Julie, I can't remember. Or
oh, right. I know what you mean.
So that's what it reminded me of. Right. Do you think there were fewer people in the pool back then and you kept getting picked over and over again than today? Or is it similar today?
I think it's similar today in a sense, like, you know, you see Dakota Fanning all the time.
Yeah.
And you see, right now I can't think of Abigail Breslin all the time in film, you know, all the time.
And the TV stars, the ones on Disney, seem to go from Disney movie to
exactly.
Disney movie.
Exactly. So it kind of does.
Similar.
In a way, it's kind of a shame because, I mean, it's great for those actors.
Right.
But it would be nice, too, to see some. That's why it's nice when somebody like Linwood comes into our show that you haven't seen a lot of. And it gives some fresh new talent a chance as well.
That's true. And it gives the show a lift, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we have another, let's see, we have one here from Trisha. She says, I adore Melissa, and I still think she is the most beautiful actress ever to be on television.
Oh, my gosh.
This is from Trisha. Things I would love to ask Melissa if I were in the studio. Why do you think that Mary's story in the television show took such a dark turn? She had a miscarriage. Her baby died. And, oh, that was a horrible one.
A horrible fire.
You never got your sight back, but Adam did. Evil men took Mary and Laura hostage in the blind school. Mm-hmm. You later did horror movies. Did you prefer the darker roles to the sunny, happy-go-lucky life on the prairie?
Well, the reason that Mary, the character... took a dark turn was really because the writers were running out of things to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is limiting just being blind anyway. But, you know, because it's, I think I was the only, I am still, I think, the only character in history who suffers an affliction, a life-changing affliction, and doesn't recover. You know, that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
So,
That's true.
You know, like Ironside was already in the chair.
Yeah.
He didn't start out, you know, you see that in the beginning, but he's always in the chair.
Did you prefer playing the dark or to the sunny? Or
No. I would have preferred just to be more real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't like the soap aspect of it.
All of the catastrophe.
Exactly.
And the drama.
Exactly.
Well, when we come back, we have some other questions from our listeners who have emailed us today and yesterday and over the weekend. And I wanted to let our readers know that, I'm sorry, our listeners know that Melissa is going to be at the Barnes & Noble tonight on Peachtree Street. That's in Buckhead. And she does a really interesting book signing with some interactivity with the audience. And we'll tell you a little bit about that. But that is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble, 2900 Peachtree Road Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia. And she will be there tonight signing books and interacting with the audience at 7 p.m. We'll be right back.
Atlantic Sealand Properties is your source for elegant beach vacation accommodations. Specializing in the private beach resort of Fripp Island, South Carolina, Atlantic Sealand Properties offers the best in customer service and elegant accommodations. Whether you're looking for a cozy two-bedroom condo overlooking the extraordinary views of the marsh, or you need a fine front row home, Atlantic Sealand Properties can help. Incredible sunsets and memories of a lifetime await. Mention Bold Ventures Radio when you reserve your vacation home and receive special incentives. Call 843-524-7073. That's 843-524-7073.
The Atlanta chapter of the Entrepreneurs Organization is comprised exclusively of business founders and CEOs operating companies in the metro Atlanta area. It enables entrepreneurs to learn and grow from each other, leading to greater business success and an enriched personal life. Today, EO Atlanta is among the world's strongest EO Global chapters and recently received rock star status from EO Global. Interested in tapping into a peer group of entrepreneurs? Then join us by visiting eonetwork.org. EO Atlanta, helping local entrepreneurs drive their dreams.
Businesses from Sandy Springs to Canada, Portland, and many points in between are seeing and feeling the success, benefits, and ultimate rewards of advertising with Radio Sandy Springs, America's web radio station. If you'd like information on how your company can advertise, give us a call in the local Atlanta area at 404-943-1620 or toll free 1-866-356-0789, and we'll personally call you back to discuss the benefits and opportunities by advertising on and with Radio Sandy Springs.
Hi, this is Ann Lauren, host of the Bella Petite Hour, featuring guest celebrities, fashion, beauty experts, and industry professionals. tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at America's Web Radio for the latest news on fashion, entertainment, and lifestyle.
Is there a cure for glaucoma? How does LASIK eye correction work? What is the difference between hard and soft lenses when it comes to contacts? If you or a close friend has any questions like these, then waste no time. You need to be listening to For Your Eyes with host Dr. Andrew Schatz. Dr. Schatz is a board-certified ophthalmologist and is here to answer your questions. So tune into Radio Sandy Springs, 1620 AM, and stream live at www.radiosandysprings.com every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m.
Welcome back to Book Talk, where my guest today is Melissa Anderson, whose new book is called The Way I See It, A Look Back at My Life on Little House. You all remember Melissa Anderson as Mary on Little House on the Prairie, and we were talking about her event tonight, which sounds so interesting. She will be signing books at 7 o'clock tonight at the Barnes & Noble at 2900 Peachtree Road Northeast, the Buckhead store. And tell us what you do. Can you tell us a little bit? Or are we giving away a secret?
Oh, no, no.
Okay, tell us what you do at your book signing.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's turned out to be a lot of fun because I do have these screenplay sections in the book where the reader can read and look at and see what a real script looks like. And it's some of the lighter moments that actually have happened. And what I like to do is ask for some volunteers. I usually do that early and let them think about it because some people need to get up their nerve.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, it's all in fun. Everybody has a great time. And we read a couple of scenes and maybe one early on when I'm younger and then maybe one later on where I'm older and it's different and it's a completely different feel. And the audience seems to audience?
Yeah, your audience. Sure, your fans, I guess, right?
Seems to book speak. I have to get into the book.
Yeah, right.
Seems to really enjoy it and they're more, I don't know, they feel very included and I've gotten nothing but compliments, and so I feel it's fun for me. It makes it fun for me, and it's not just a dry reading.
Yeah, and what's interesting, they're not reading the screenplay. I wanted to clarify this for our listeners. It's not that they're reading a screenplay from Little House. They're reading your life that you put into screenplay form. So
right.
One of them we were talking about at the break was when you had to meet Steven Spielberg for the first time, and it really does. I mean, it comes across very awkward because
right.
he's shy and you're shy, you say in the book.
Right.
And that's so it's your real life that you've put into screenplay form, which I found very
yes.
unique in the
yes.
book. That was a really great storytelling method, I thought.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
then
you.
Tomorrow you'll be at 1 o'clock. You'll be at the Atlanta Center for the Book, which is at DeKalb County Public Library, which people know on Sycamore Street, which is a wonderful, wonderful place. You have a lot of fans of books there.
Oh, great.
And you'll have a wonderful time. So that's at 1 o'clock tomorrow if you miss this evening's book signing, Tuesday, May 11th, 1 p.m. at the Atlanta Center for the Book. You'll see Melissa Anderson signing books and interacting with audiences. Her new book, The Way I See It, A Look Back at My Life on Little House. So we have another writer, listener who wrote in, and Kim wanted to know what it was like to work with Michael Landon, and was he really that handsome in person? So tell us a little bit. You talk a little bit about Michael in your book.
I do. Well, there's a little bit of screenplay, a scene in the very beginning of my book, which describes Michael Landon perfectly, especially then in 1974. In my second meeting, after I did my NBC meeting with the NBC brass, they narrowed it down. I guess supposedly it was 200 girls for each role.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what I've always heard. So they narrowed it down, and we read then for Michael Landon at Paramount. And I must have been the last interview of the day. Because it was late, and I left the office after I'd done my thing in there, and my mother and I went down the hallway, and suddenly we hear this booming voice behind us telling us we're going the wrong way, and I have a scene in there which actually happened, and it turns out it's Michael Landon telling us we went the wrong way, and my mother turns around, and I think in the beginning we didn't realize that he was going to be in my meeting. I didn't know that I would be reading with him because my mother turns around and sees him and practically like faints. And she says, "You didn't tell me he was in your meeting." And I said, "Well, you didn't ask me."
Oh, that's so typical.
Really, yeah. Really. And anyway, and we talk as we walk out, and he sees us out the door. And this is, you know, this scene takes us out the door, and what, you know, kind of my mother sort of babbling, you know, that and trying to you know, make you know, fill up the empty space and say things like, you know, I'm a big fan of Bonanza, and and actually I said, and it's interesting because of what later happens to me. I said I loved the one the episode where you went blind, when Michael's
That's
character
right.
went blind, and I said, but she, and I'm pointing at my mother, put me to bed in the middle of it, and he went, what? You put her to bed in the middle of my, you know, and on and on. And my mother's like, school, and, you know. And he says, now, you know, he's teasing and everything. But he said, but you really ought to see the rest of it where I get my sight back.
Oh, yeah. Hello, a little foreshadowing.
Yeah, that's right. And anyway, at the end of that, I say that whatever happened after that, it didn't matter because my mother and I could have died happy because Michael Landon was positively dreamy.
Was he good looking?
He was positively dreamy. Yeah.
But he was little. You tell us he's short. He's a shorter person for a man, right?
Yes, yes. He wasn't, you know, he was maybe 5'8".
Okay.
Wasn't that little.
Right.
But he was much littler than he, you know, came across.
He wore boots. He wore cowboy boots.
He wore these boots with a heel, and then he had lifts inside the boots.
Right.
So
he could appear taller.
Yes, and a lot of guys were like that then, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of leading women stood in holes. You know?
Oh, really? So they could be little?
Yeah.
That is, oh, my God, that would be horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Guys on apple boxes and women in holes. It happened a lot.
Thank goodness that you didn't have to be blind and stand in a hole in your
that
little house.
That would have been a little too much.
But, so you are married to Michael Sloan.
Yes.
And he's a screenwriter.
Yes.
I'm not as familiar with his work, so tell us a little bit about Michael.
Well, he's known very well for creating The Equalizer.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is actually going to be made into a film.
Perfect.
That would be very exciting.
And will you be in the film? Do you want to act anymore?
I would love now that I'm sort of obsolete, as my son is almost 14 and my daughter is 19. I've become kind of obsolete at home. I certainly wouldn't mind, but as far as that film goes, I don't know if there'd be a place for me in that. But I, you know, it's interesting because
a blind gun runner in the movie. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I got every blind joke. I mean, really.
You did. Well, you're so beautiful. I think he should just put you in the movie just to make the ratings go up. Personally, you guys, I wish you were here in the studio. So.
But I actually played the Equalizer's daughter in the TV series. But my husband at that time, he created the show, but he had moved on to other things. So we didn't meet that way.
Really?
But I was the daughter. I came back. I would go to New York and shoot two episodes and then go back to L.A. And then later on I'd go back and do. So that's sort of how that worked. But we actually met on what my husband was doing next, which was new episodes of the old Alfred Hitchcock series.
New episodes of the old, okay, so the old black and white when they became.
They colorized. It was interesting how they did it. They colorized the intros and out. I think he also did, I can't remember, but I know the intros. They colorized those.
Like Outer Limits?
And, no, like where, you know where Alfred Hitchcock talks in the beginning?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't remember if he talks, no, he doesn't talk at the end, but he talks at the beginning. Yeah, and they colorized those, and then they matched them. They were able to find new episodes that they had written. To put the old, it was really cool.
Oh,
how they
I
did
see.
It.
They had to grab one that made
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it made sense with that story. So I was in the first one of those, and then I was the only actress to do another one. But and it was much later on in the season. But by that time I had connections.
Yeah. So you met on the set of that?
Of that, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Was it love at first sight? Was
well,
it
yes,
interesting?
Kind of. Yeah, it kind of was. It was. You know, we really had a lot in common, and. We're both kind of funny, and he was very funny, and I don't know, we kind of had a matchmaker friend there, a friend, another producer of Michael's who was really into it. He thought we were a really good pair, so he kind of was pushing us a little, anyway, we dated. You know, we still dated for like 3 years before we got married.
Yeah, okay, all right. But, well, you were still pretty young, I would think, right?
I was, yeah. And then once we got married, and we knew we wanted to have a family. I write a chapter about that in the book, actually, called Magic Mountain in Disguise, which is basically what it's like to be a celebrity and have children, and what I think it feels like for them.
Yeah.
And the fact that I didn't like what I saw of Mike Landon's kids, watching him in the background while he was just inundated with fans and autographs, which is, you know, something we all have to do, of course.
Right.
But when the kids are there, that's really tough.
So, yeah, you could see some of their frustration or
emptiness and just you know, like, well, you know, I don't mean as much as my dad does. You know, you kind of feel that because the fans are not interested in those kids at all.
No.
They're not there to see them.
Mm-mm.
So I really thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, then I'm one of those people. I want to try to do it right. That's the way I always am.
Uh-huh.
And you're bound to make mistakes as a parent, I know. But
oh, yeah.
I thought at least this one I'll try to avoid. And I thought, you know, I'd like my children to be the stars of our family, you know, and I'd like when I go out with my kids, I'd like people to say, oh, what an adorable little boy and what a pretty little girl, and
right.
you know, and be like that and
not be making all over you when
a fuss
your kids
all
are
over
there.
Me,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so I've been able to do that, and I've been able to work just for friends occasionally, do a play here for a director friend, maybe in Toronto or something, and work for my husband occasionally if he's doing something that I'm right for. And for some other friends, but basically, I've been available then to be home. My husband does travel, you know,
yes,
he's in the same
course.
Business, so I'm home all the time, and I can make sure that any last minute school things that you know I couldn't do if I was working,
mm-mm.
I can do, and I think it's been a good thing for my kids, and they're I'm very proud of them. They're good people.
So. And are either of them interested in acting as a career?
No, thank God.
I know. You say in your book it wouldn't be a career that you would recommend for children, but
no.
You seem to have come out of it and into adulthood beautifully and unscathed. Is that an accurate analysis?
Well, thank you. Yes, I mean I worked very hard. I learned a lot. I was recognized, you know, for mm-hmm. my hard work, but I was very, very lucky. You know, the business takes so much luck anyway. You would try to discourage anybody from being an actor, an adult even, because, you know, you'll be a waiter most of the time, you know?
Right.
I mean, to pay your bills. You know, if you're passionate about something, maybe do it as a hobby where you can really throw your passion in and not worry about a roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Even
that can take a lot of time. I mean, I know a lot of friends who act, you know, at night or local
yes.
theater, and it's like a second
yes.
job. So you have to even be committed in that
yes.
respect.
Yes, and I was lucky because I didn't go through an awkward period where a lot of actors,
mm-hmm.
Young actors do, and then they suddenly don't work anymore.
Right.
So, see, I had luck on my side as well. And I was raised well, but, you know, I was also one of those kids that didn't want to get in trouble.
Good.
So,
that
see,
means that's
that
good.
Helped.
Yeah. I hope your kids are like that, too. And so where is your daughter headed off to college then?
She just finished her first her first year and is a straight-A student,
yeah.
I might add.
What does she like to study?
She's studying international relations now.
Oh, that's very cool.
So she's in D.C., and she's back in Montreal now, but she's...
That's where she goes to school.
Yes.
And your son, so we don't leave him out of the equation. He's
yes.
about the same age as my son. What is he into?
He's into basketball, big
oh,
time.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I bought him a Hawks jersey.
Oh, yay. Yesterday.
Oh,
that's
him,
nice
I
of
asked
you.
Him to research Atlanta, and was there anything that he would like? And he said, well, they have a basketball team called the Hawks.
Oh, that's so cute.
So that was really
good. Well, that's good. Well, and so he likes to play basketball.
He likes to play basketball. And he's a very avid reader. And he,
oh, wow.
He read my book, when I only had one copy.
Yeah.
And I said, and tell me if there are any typos. And please, God, there can't be. I've been through this book so many times. And he gets to the towards the end, and he says, uh-oh. And I went, and he said, thunk. It says thunk.
Huh.
I said that's an expression, Griff. You know, who would have thunk? And he said, oh, really?
And
I was
so
like,
cute.
Phew.
He didn't know that one. See, he learned something.
He learned something.
That is so adorable.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you a little bit. We have asked our audience members who wrote in emails if they would like a signed book from you. And, of course, all of them were so very excited. So I have to ask you to pick a name, and we're going to go ahead and announce it, okay?
Okay.
So if you would pick a number
okay.
between 1 and 4.
Okay. And I should say that.
And say the number.
Okay. 3.
3. And 3 is Tammy Smith is our first winner of Melissa's book. So we will be signing that over. And when we come back from our break, We will announce our second winner, because your publisher was sweet enough to send us two hardback copies with pictures, by the way. I didn't get to see the pictures, so I'm going to steal a book for a few minutes and look through the pictures. And when we come back, we will be wrapping it up with Melissa Anderson. Her new book is out, The Way I See It, A Look Back at My Life on Little House. And we'll be back in a moment.
Tarter Farm and Ranch Equipment is the nation's largest manufacturer of farm gates and animal management and feeding equipment, producing more than 850 products. Their branded products are carried in the nation's best-known farm and ranch stores. It's a brand that means rugged dependability, and it's used and trusted by farmers and ranchers around the world. Learn more about the Tarter Farm and Ranch product line by visiting www.tarterfarmandranch.com.
Does your accounting firm go beyond the basics and provide you with services specific to your industry to meet your ever-changing needs? For nearly 40 years, HLB Gross Collins PC has worked with clients providing individualized services to set the stage for the best financial outcome possible in their overall financial picture. Taxes and audits are only a fraction of the big picture, and they have the expertise to evaluate and identify areas for better financial help. With HLB Gross Collins PC on your team, you can rest assured that you will receive attention and expertise that is unrivaled in the industry. Call HLB Gross Collins PC at 770-433-1711 or visit hlbgrosscollins.com, and they will work with you to maximize financial success.
The Tasting Room Wine Bar and Restaurant of Sandy Springs offers Buckhead-style ambiance without the drive. Located on Sandy Springs Circle, the Tasting Room offers a unique menu of chef-crafted selections for lunch and dinner. Our hand-picked wine selection, featuring over 250 international wines, will tempt the palate of the most discerning guest. With unique nightly pairings, specials, wine tastings, wine classes, live jazz, and hosting for private events, the Tasting Room offers elegance and atmosphere in a convenient, easy-to-access location. For reservations or to schedule a wine tasting, call 404-252-8170.
Are you into classic cars? Do you own a classic car? If so, you need to know J.C. Taylor Insurance, the absolute best place in the country for classic car insurance. They own classic cars, they support the industry, and have the best prices bar none. Go to jctaylor.com, get a quote, and tell them you heard about them on Radio Sandy Springs.
Do you have chronic pain? Then Ciara may be the answer for you. For more information, go to our homepage, www.americaswebradio.com, and click on Pain Relief. The NFL, Major League Baseball, and NBA use them. I do too, and they work.
Welcome back to Book Talk with Ginger. You're lucky we came back, because we get talking during the breaks, and it's so interesting. Melissa has so many interesting stories about not only my life on Little House on the Prairie, but also some of the other TV and films that she's done and the people she's met in L.A. and sort of your opinions on acting and all of that, I think makes this book a very well-rounded book. It's not just you're not just reciting what happened on the show. So we get a little bit of behind the scenes, but we also get your opinion as an adult now looking back. Which is really rounds out the book for us. We were going to, at the end of the show, if you stay tuned, we are going to pick our second winner of the Melissa Anderson's new book, The Way I See It, and it has wonderful pictures in it that we were just looking through, and a lot of memorabilia. I don't know how you chose all of that.
That was hard.
So, happy Mother's Day. Tell us what you
Thank
did a little
you.
Bit for Mother's Day. Were you traveling?
No, I was here, actually.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was at a book signing.
Oh, my gosh. So, where were you yesterday?
I was at Books A Million.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
But I was in Books A Million.
Yeah, I remember that. So, you had a good crowd. It's a nice book to get for your mother if you forgot to get her a book for Mother's Day. And one of the things we were talking about is that you left the show early. And one of our listeners wrote in and asked, had you ever regretted that decision? Not early, but mm-hmm. that you didn't continue. What? Did they continue on two more seasons without you?
What happened was we all had seven-year contracts.
Okay.
I fulfilled my seven-year contract, and then I said I would do two episodes the eighth season. They went on and did the eighth season.
And was that a two-part episode that you did?
No. Okay. It was very, they were very
different,
mundane.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think I wrote about it in the book that they weren't particularly, you know, they could have been better than they were. It's a shame that they weren't kind of a better send-off for us, but Linwood and I. But Where was I?
Let's see. Oh, so you left the show.
Yeah, and then they turned the show into, we were struggling, the ratings were going down.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I also thought, if I'm going to leave, I think I'd rather leave when you know, the show's on top.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So that was, it turned out to be a really good decision. And then, you know, I write a bit about, you know, when a series starts to, I forget how I wrote
flounder
it.
Flounder or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just, you know, they'll redo things. They'll, you know.
Yeah,
you
said
common.
They hired younger, what did they, adopt children or have more children?
Yes,
and then they could replay the episodes.
Yeah, they just kind of rework the old episodes for the new characters.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time.
Sure.
So,
because you have new audience members at that time.
Exactly.
Someone like me might have been older and watching something else, but my little sister might have come on.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I see.
Exactly. So I went on and I did, you know, I did a cult film that just celebrated, I think it was the 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
On DVD, Happy Birthday to Me. It's a big cult. It has a big cult following. It's very...
What's it about?
It's a horror movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, of course it's a cult following. We love horror in America.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why.
And it's so funny. It's
that.
The one thing that my daughter, like, takes to parties and sleepovers to watch. They watch, you know, when they want to watch a movie, they watch one of
that
them is Happy Birthday.
So
very funny.
And she says, that's my mom. What do your kids think when they watch? Because you mentioned your son watching some of these episodes with you for the research for the book.
Right, yeah. He's watched some. Neither one of them have watched a lot of them. But
by choice or just how does that work?
Yeah, I think because it was just natural for them. They knew that I, you know, did that. But also maybe because people didn't make a fuss about me,
mm-hmm.
they didn't feel like they had to.
Right.
Either.
Right. I better watch.
So
this.
Yeah, maybe, you know. But yeah, they you know, he did. He watched one the award where Mary is studying madly for this award and she the book, Miss Beadle loans her a book, and the book, when she burns down the barn, and the
yeah,
book, and and it goes on and on and
a
on.
A big fancy dictionary book or
right,
something, right?
Exactly, uh-huh. And she has to work to repay Miss Beadle, and, you know, so that she doesn't even know about the book, and then she's not supposed to take the test, but and everyone thinks she does take the test, but she actually doesn't take the test and writes why
she
couldn't
right,
take the test. And
that's right.
Yeah, it was a big, big episode, and it was one of my favorite early ones, because where I really had a chance to show what I could do.
Yeah.
And my son, when he was about 11, he saw that. And in the barn burning part, he sees me asleep. Uh-oh, she fell asleep. Uh-oh. And then I turn over and my leg knocks the oil lamp over, and he says, "Oh no. What has she done?" Oh no. And he kept referring to me as she, and it was the cutest thing. I thought, "Well,
that
he really
so
believes
cute.
It."
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cute. Oh, she shouldn't have done that. Oh.
And that was a great... So what was the episode that you were nominated for an Emmy for?
That was I'll Be Waving as You Drive Away parts 1 and 2, although they didn't let you put in, you couldn't be nominated for more than 2 episodes at that time. You had to pick one, even if it was a 2-part
wow,
episode.
Okay.
So that was always hard to do. So I chose part 1 because I had been sighted in the beginning, and I lose my sight towards the end. So that showed more of a range,
right.
I thought, on my part. But the problem was also, in those days, if you were featured in a particular episode, suddenly you were then put in a different category at the Emmys, where I was normally a supporting actor. Mike Landon and Karen Grassley were the leads.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then we were supporting actors. So I should have been in the supporting actor category, but because I was featured in that show, they put me in the leading actress category.
Wow.
So I then am up against Seda Thompson and Michael Learned and
oh,
Audra
yeah,
Flanagan
yeah.
and all, which was, I mean, it was so exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, here I am, this 16-year-old girl with all these great women around me. So when they say that, you know, the nomination is really just as, you know, just as exciting and, you know, and gratifying, it is, truly.
Oh, I can only imagine. You write about that well in the book. We could feel your excitement.
Oh, thank you.
Do you still go to any awards shows? Have you ever taken your kids to the Emmys or the Oscars?
No, you know, really, they're more fun to watch at home.
Yeah.
You know, because they're you're in uncomfortable clothes and heels and, you know.
It takes 4 hours to prepare.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Not that I know. I'm just saying.
The older you get, you know. I was saying to my husband yesterday, I'm so sick of me. I'm so sick of getting ready. I can't tell you. So he says, when you come back, miss, and the kids say, why is is mom always like in a baseball cap and looking funny? It'll be because I'm just so tired of looking at myself.
So how long is your tour? How long will you be on the road?
It's about a month. I get to go home for this coming weekend, but then I go right back
out
again.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, when you come to see her tonight at Barnes & Noble, give her a hug because she's been on the road. And I am going to pick our last winner. And I'm going to ask you to pick a number between 1 and 4 again. Don't pick 3 again.
Right. 1.
1. And that is Miss Kimmy Sisto. And she's a skirt blogger. She is a huge fan. She's the one who wanted to know how cute Michael Landon was. So, Kimmy, you win a free book. And we will have Melissa sign these before she leaves today. And it has been such a pleasure to have you on Book Talk.
Oh, well, thank you, Ginger.
Really,
it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And everybody, tonight you will see Melissa at Barnes & Noble in Buckhead. And her new book is The Way I See It, A Look Back at My Life on Little House. We'll see you again on the show soon, I hope.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.